Looking for more McGinnis on tap? You found it.
23 feet. Sends the ball on its way. Now starts the break to the left-hand side. Creeping by the cup. He made it. Oh, my goodness. What a four for Dickie Pride. He gives it a fist pump. He walks slowly to the cup. Plucks it out. He has posted 10 under par and takes off his cap and tips it to the crowd. Why not? Why not, Dickie Pride?
Well, that was the call from Fred Albers last Sunday afternoon, and a great call it was. It was an even better putt by my old buddy Dickie Pride, and at the time, it looked like it may just be enough. We all know what happened just a few minutes later from Jason Duffner. One of my favorite moments from the tournament that week, though, was the second that Jason Duffner's putt went in. Who was standing and clapping the loudest? Dickie Pride. Dickie's back on the show. He was with us last Friday. He said last Friday that he wasn't sure he could make his own Alabama team these days. Dickie, I think you proved yourself wrong.
I don't know. Those kids are good. And I know they're stronger and faster than me, so I'm going to try to keep them on my good side.
Yeah, there's no question about that. How's the week been for you since last Sunday?
Oh, it's been hectic. I mean, if you can imagine, you know, Sunday night was just a kind of a blur after all that, going and doing media. And then, of course, my mom and my nephew and then another cousin from Arkansas, they all came down. So I was, you know, working all that out, and they all took off, and I drove over to Fort Worth, and I had like 215 text messages. And I mean, I don't know 200 people that like me. And a bunch of emails, a bunch of calls, and I still haven't gotten all of them back, but it's been great. I mean, it's been great. And then I felt bad because Monday Pro-Am at the Colonial, I about number seven I gave. Guys, look, I'm really sorry, but I'm pretty much done for the day. I'm going to try like heck, but I think I made one birdie from that point. But we had a good time with a great team, but I was like, guys, I just got nothing right now.
I'm sure that they totally understood. I don't think the listeners can really appreciate just how exhausting it is to be in contention in a PGA Tour event for four straight days.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you just, it's amazing. It's what you want, and you just are so excited and so into it, and it's such an adrenaline rush, and it's great. But then, you know, it takes a while to calm down. Sunday night, I mean, I got to bed about 11:15. I think I probably fell asleep. I turned out the lights probably 10:30 and was wide awake. I woke up at 3:30, couldn't go back to sleep. So finally at 5:15, I just got up and went and did laundry. Because, I mean, I was like, I'm awake. I might as well go get it done. I got to do it. So
this was Monday morning.
Oh, yeah, Monday morning. At 3:30, I'm wide awake. And the funny part was my teacher, Dan Snyder, said, well, you should have called me because I was up at 4. And my wife was up at like 3:30. You know, she was up earlier than me because she was on Eastern time. And I actually text her at like 5. She's like, I've been up for 2 hours. I'm like, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, just an amazing week. You're currently 43rd in FedEx Cup points. For the first time in your career, you're going to get to participate in the PGA Tour playoffs for the FedEx Cup, even if you don't do anything else the rest of the year. You're in the playoffs.
That's so you're setting a goal for me?
No. I'm just saying that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. I mean, it's staggering.
I do have some bad news for you.
Oh.
That means you have to play Beth Page.
Oh, yeah. That's okay. We'll figure that out. I've played plenty of courses where I couldn't reach the par fours before. I'll do it again. you know, it's staggering, yeah, all that did for me. I mean, you look at it, and the seven tournaments I've played this year, I've made a quarter of my career earnings. You know, when I won, I mean, I made six times. So this past week, I made three times what I made when I won.
Right.
And it's just staggering where it's gotten to. And I guess they told me this one today in the media. I didn't even know this one. I made more money in the Byron Nelson finishing second than I had in any year playing professional golf. And I'm like, guys, y'all are really, you know, is that a compliment? I mean, I just don't know. But well, I'll take it, you know.
Obviously, you're in this week. You're in Memorial now next week, I would imagine.
I'm in. I don't know that I'm going to play.
Right. I mean, that was my next question is, How much more can you do? You've got to be just worn out.
I'm definitely worn out. I had a week off before Byron Nelson, but I really want to play in the U.S. Open, and I've got second stage of qualifying in Memphis the Monday after Memorial. And if I play Memorial, it's going to be very difficult to get there and then be ready for 36 holes, and I won't get to play a practice round. I'm still weighing that decision. I haven't made that decision yet, but I'm going back and forth about it.
No, and you know what? That's the beauty of the situation. Yeah. I find it interesting that there's tournaments this summer that you may struggle to get into, even though you've already accomplished all that you've accomplished. I'm sure that you've looked at some of those tournaments and thought, well, how am I going to get in there?
Well, the summer is going to be – I think I'm going to do okay this summer because I'm going to move to the top of my category.
Right.
And that's going to help. But also, the way it's set up, the listeners probably don't know a bunch about it, but the long story short is I'm in the last category. I'm at the top of the last category. But traditionally, between my category and the 125, there are six less people than normal. That includes the 126, the people that are 126 to 150 from the last year that are using it. And it also includes how many people got through Q school, and it also includes medicals. So traditionally, there's six more people in those categories than right now. So I think I've got a good shot at getting in this summer. It's going to be funny. I'm pretty much, I don't think I will get in many in the fall series.
And that's
kind of funny, which I'm fine with. One, I want to go see, you know, it's like the first time I'm going to have an off season since 99. Right. So I want to go see a football game. I want to go watch Alabama play if I can. I would love to go duck hunting. I spend time with my family, you know. It's going to be nice. And at the end, I'll be in a position that, even if I get in, I'm not sure I'll play because I've been that guy that needed to play those last couple of events to get my card. And since I'm not going to be in that position, I'm going to probably, I might play one or two. It just depends.
When was the last year that you did not write the check to go to Q school? Do you remember?
The last time, probably 96, when I finished 125th on the money list and didn't send in a Q school application. And let's just say that last day was not a lot of fun.
I was there. I was with you. We both missed the cut.
proving the complete idiot that I happened to be. But that worked out. I got lucky there, and thank goodness for that. But yeah, I know that in 99, and because of that experience, in 99 I kept my card, but I know I had my Q school entry in.
Right.
So it's just a decade and a half. No big deal.
Yeah, well, it's been worth it. Obviously, there had to be some times over the last few years where you thought, okay, it's time to start considering some other path.
Oh, yeah. It's been discussed. Kim and I have discussed it before about doing something different.
And now this path is going to take you until you're almost, 44, 45 years old, no matter what.
Yeah, it should. I mean, hopefully I will continue to improve. I mean, all the top 125 and the accolades and all that, it's just, it's mind-boggling and it's wonderful. And, the part of the challenge from this point forward is going to be, okay, yes, you got all this, but you got all this because you prepared yourself and you improved your golf game and you worked on your golf game, and I need to remember that.
I'm
way more well equipped to handle it than when I won in 94. 94, I was completely clueless and thought I was a genius. Now I'm completely clueless, and I know I'm completely clueless. So I've got a distinct advantage over where I used to be.
Well, and the other part of this is that this didn't come out of nowhere. You finished fifth at the first tournament on the PGA Tour you got in this year. You finished seventh at the Honda, which, boy, that's a great finish on a really hard golf course. So the second last week at the Nelson, of course, we're talking to Dickie Pride. That this didn't come out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's been steady progression. Dan Snyder, my and you know Dan, is my golf coach, and you know, but for the basically for the past 3 years, we've been working on the same thing. And his main job has been stop trying other stuff and get back to what we're working on. This is what we need to improve. This is what we need to do. We had he's here this week, and we had dinner last night. And I said, you know, 3 years ago we said I was averaging about 280 off the tee, maybe a little less. And I said, I think I need to gain 10 yards off the tee and to be more competitive. I'm never going to hit it 300 yards, but I'd like to get it towards 290. And I think I average about 288 now. And, you know, between some swing, you know, basically swing changes of, you know, using your body better, turning behind the ball and using your body rather than your hands and arms to create speed, and getting in better shape, because round is a shape. But we've kind of accomplished those goals, and you know, as I told him, we must have been geniuses because we just figured it out, and now it's starting to work.
Well, let's talk about the final putt that you hit on 18. Did you have any idea what was going on with JJ behind you, who was 11 under when you teed off on 18 but ends up making the double at 17. Did you have any idea what those guys behind you were doing?
Yes, I did. I saw the scoreboard. It was kind of hard to miss. Basically, when I teed off, I mean, it's disappointing. When I teed off, I slipped. I tried as hard as I could to slice that ball, which is usually one of my fortes. But I slipped and started this ball so far left, I couldn't get it back to the fairway. And, I mean, I gave it everything I got. I got about halfway down, and my right foot started going back, and I was like, oh, no.
Right.
Oh, no. And I tried to get it back right. You know, I was very proud of the fact that somehow I composed myself back to hit my next shot. You know, it took me by the Jason Day had hit. Jason hit, I went and got some water. I had to have a little conference with myself over the side away from the camera so I wouldn't get fined. And by the time I got to the fairway to approach where my ball went in, it was okay, let's figure out where this hit, and let's see if we can go back on a line where I can drop in the fairway rather than hit off this side hill. And then let's see about getting this, you know, hitting it close. I was like, and ironically, I had the same yardage I had on 17 adjusted. It was 163 yards. So I said, well, I just hit that one, you know, 10 feet and made birdie. So let's just hit this one and make birdie, you know, make the putt. I hit it a little right of where I wanted to, but I hit it the right distance, which was really, you know, my distance control was pretty good all week. And I really was happy to see that putt go in.
Well, take us through that, because you know, you hit the putt, and it looked like you knew the second you made contact with that putt that you'd hit it exactly where you wanted to hit it.
Yeah, I did. Exactly. It's funny. You know, you try to make all the putts, but for me, when I start trying to make putts, I start manipulating the putter blade. So I just, this is where I'm going to start it. This is how much break I believe it has. I'm going to start it there and see what happens. And that's really what I'm trying to do on every putt, is just hit it down my line. And I hit it right down my line, and I felt like it was the correct speed. And it just went in. Of course, you know, Jason came out right behind me and proved that it must not have been a very difficult putt.
Well,
mine kind of went in the right side. His would have gone in a thimble. And I mean, I was like, okay. That was pretty impressive, Jason. Congratulations.
Well, and you stood there and you applauded as a proud member of the Alabama Crimson Tide. You stood there and you applauded for a kid from Auburn.
Oh, absolutely. Jason is an excellent golfer. When we did so much publicity last year for the Teed Up for Tuscaloosa for the tornado relief, he was one of the first guys. And he said, I'll be there. I'm going to bring a team. And I'm going to help you, and I'm going to support you, and I'm going to do what I can to help. And he did. And he backed it up, and he was there, and he was great. And I have a lot of respect for Jason. I mean, we've been friends for 10 years. And, yeah, we do a lot of ribbing with the Alabama-Auburn thing. I mean, that's the kind of the way we do it, and being from Alabama. And I'll tell you what, I got a lot of flack for the BCS statement thing. Auburn guys got a little upset about that when I was like, guys, it's a joke. Come on, relax, you know?
Well, and he, of course, is married to a girl that graduated from Alabama.
Yeah, I think every Auburn person should marry someone from Alabama. You got to have someone think. And I told Amanda that. But, no, yeah, I mean, they're just great people. And the rivalry thing, it's you know, that's the fun part about it to me. That's the fun part of the Alabama-Auburn thing. I don't take it so seriously that it's, like, hateful. You know, and people, I guess I forget people don't know me, you know, and know how sarcastic I am the majority of the time. So a couple Auburn people got upset with that. I'm like, hey, sorry, you know, it wasn't like I was trying to say or do anything. It's just, that's, you know, we got it. So I'm going to brag about it.
Of course.
Yeah. How many times have I been on a camera on national TV this year? That's the first one where I got the microphone and poor Peter Costas. You know, and of course, Peter, I'm giving Peter a hard time because Peter's wife went to Alabama. Sandy went to Alabama. I literally known her since I was about 15. So, you know, he's over there trying not to crack up and be impartial, and I'm just drilling him. So, but that's me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I should mention, you are, and this came about, I think, a few weeks ago, one of the newest members of Twitter Nation.
I am on Twitter Nation, and I am not very good at it. I'm still learning it. My nephew, Pride Snow, he came out, and he's like, hey, Uncle Dickie, we really got to work on your hashtag. And I'm like, well, considering I'm not really sure what that is, Pride, you're right. So you got to help me out here, big man. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm on Twitter. It's at Dickie Pride. It's pretty simple, and I'm learning about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's fun. It's entertaining.
Definitely is entertaining. I follow you. I get your junk.
Yes. So. I don't always put the most I used to put less appropriate stuff out there than I do now, but my son talked his mother into letting him have a Twitter account.
Go,
so now I've had to clean up my act.
Yeah, I know. And you know, it's funny. It is an interesting thing because, again, it's fun and it's entertaining, but, you know, it can easily be taken out of context. And I really have to watch myself because, I mean, you know me.
Right.
People on the radio, trust me, John and I go back far enough, and I am a complete, a sarcastic smartass.
How's yes.
That's just me, and I come up with comebacks quicker than I need to because I don't think. And I have to really watch myself because I want to put stuff down there so quickly. You know, I got a lot. I got blown up on Twitter pretty good by the Auburn people and basically saying I have no class to bring up the BCS thing because I couldn't beat Duffner. And, my first instinct is to send them back and say, hey, you know, truth hurts, doesn't it? You know, but you can't do that. I mean,
no.
It's like, yeah, I was not trying to take anything away from Jason Duffner. The first thing I did was, you know, applaud, tell Miss Nelson what a great champion they have, and they should be proud, and then to go see Amanda and tell her congratulations. And I mean, simply put, he kicked my butt. The cool thing about Jason winning that is, you know, he had to birdie the last hole. And I mean, this is not an easy hole. It's not like it was a reachable par five or something. I mean, he just killed a drive. He didn't hit his sand wedge. I'm sure he didn't hit his sand wedge as good as he wanted, but I mean, he hit such a great putt. It's like, hey, that's awesome. And, you know, everyone, a bunch of Auburn people like trying to take away from his win. I'm like, oh, come on, people. Let's get a life here. It's Alabama Auburn. We give each other a hard time.
Well, and you and I have been around long enough to have seen his progression, you know, from back when. You know, he was struggling to make cuts, and here he is now, one of the best players in the world.
He has one of the greatest. It's one of my favorite stories, and I'll tell it on him because it's hilarious. The Titleist Tour rep on the Nationwide Tour, and I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to embarrass him. The long story short, when you're on the Nationwide Tour, you know, you don't have a bunch of status, so you can't really get a whole bunch of free stuff. Jason Monday qualified for a Nationwide event, and as you could imagine, when you Monday for a Nationwide event and you have no status, it's like a kid going to the candy store. You want to get, so you want to try all these different clubs. You want to get tried, you know, get new clubs, get stuff with more grooves and all. Jason went up, and he was a Titleist staff guy. He came out of college, and he signed a, you know, did a ball deal with Titleist, and he bought his Titleist clubs, and he saw the Titleist rep, and he said, I could really use some new irons. He said, I can get them to you for X amount, but, you know, as a qualifier, I can't get them for you. And Jason, you know, okay. He said, now you win, I'll get you anything you want. He said, okay. Well, Jason won the tournament. So he goes to the range the next week, and the Titleist rep walks up, and he goes, well, Jason, in typical Jason fashion, he says, not one word. He walks to his bag. He unzips a pocket. He pulls out a sheet of paper with his specs of every club and what he wants and just handed it to him, turned around, and walked back, started hitting balls. It's like that. It's just, I mean, and it's so typical Jason, and it's just, I mean, of course, no one knew him at that point, and it's just right. Hilarious.
Well, he had earrings in both ears at that point.
Yeah, exactly. He said, here you go. He just looked at him. I don't even think he said anything. He just handed him a sheet of paper and said, you know, two through pitch and wedge, this shaft, this lie. They had the whole thing, everything, new staff bag. Here's how you spell my name. I mean, just hilarious.
You know, he should take you with him on Friday night. You know what he's doing, don't you?
Oh, no.
He's throwing out the first pitch at the Rangers game.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. No, I love being around Jason because he doesn't talk much. It gives me more space.
Well, and Josh Hamilton, when Hunter Mahan did it a few weeks ago, didn't know who Hunter was. Think he's going to know who Jason is?
Probably not.
Your Braves are looking pretty good these days.
I like the way the Braves are playing. I've been texting Chip Carey a bunch, and I got the Major League Baseball package on my phone, so when I'm in, so if I got Wi-Fi, I'm watching it, and I start texting Chip, and he starts texting me back, and I'm going, stop doing that. You're messing up my feed. they're playing good ball. They got some great pitching, and, another one you talk about. I mean, here's the beauty of golf. You know, Chipper Jones, they're all going, oh, he's so old. He's 2 years younger than me, maybe three. I think he's two. I think he's 40, so he's 2 years younger than me, about to be three in July. And he's, like, older than dirt. I'm going, guys, I'm not, you know, oh, well. Yes, I am that old.
You don't have to leg out any ground balls this week.
Oh, you're not kidding, because I couldn't do it, you know. I just had to pull the old, right before you called, I had to pull the old. Remember in high school, well, I don't know if you played high school basketball. I played high school basketball. I had to shave my ankle because my plantar fasciitis, I'm getting on my right foot, I'm having to get my foot taped every day for support. So it's coming off, so I had to shave my ankle again. So I'm really hoping that I can go to a pool near you and really show off.
Dickie, I've kept you probably longer than I should have, but you're always entertaining. And I tell
you what, you mean me and you ramble? Nah, never happened. Not it, us, John Dickie. No, they're short, quiet, to the point.
If you missed any of this interview with Dickie Pride, this will be posted at McGinnisOnTap.com sometime later today or tomorrow. Trex will
should I ship that. You a picture of my shaven ankle for the online?
No, they're going to have a handsome picture of you. Smarter people than me handle stuff like that, Dickie.
I could text it to you. You never know. You know what? You're good point.
Yeah, they're professionals. And I tell you what, I couldn't be more thrilled for you and your family and everybody involved.
Well, I sure do appreciate it. I'm a very lucky person to be doing what I'm doing, and you know my wife, and I've said it 1,000 times on this show. I overmarried, and with all the lean times back and forth, and I'm really excited about the success. It wouldn't be possible without my wife Kim, because she supports me and has supported me through thick and thin, and thank God she has, because I wouldn't have had the opportunity to do what I did last week without her.
You know what? Well said. And I think that everybody who's ever met the two of you would absolutely 100% agree with that statement.
Yeah. I don't think there's any. I mean, my family is like, yeah, you did better than you could do. We thought you could, son. Hey, thanks, Chris. I appreciate that, Mary Day. I appreciate that. when your mom looks at you and goes, son, you better not mess this one up. You know, it's just one of those, you know, aren't you supposed to be on my side? Yeah, whatever. Okay. Yeah.
I completely understand, my friend. I don't know. Whatever happens in the next few weeks, obviously you're playing an awful lot of golf, but I'm thrilled that you're going to be able to spend the entire fall at home with the family. That's awesome.
I am looking forward to it. And the great part about it is September 15th is Alabama, Arkansas, and Fayetteville, and it's an open week, and I'm not going to play the Boise Open. Even though I love them, can't do it. So, well, you know how that goes.
You probably haven't been to one of those games in quite some time.
I got to go to one because, of course, last year when we did the tornado relief thing, I did it on I did it the week of homecoming. So, yeah, and don't think that wasn't a plan. I mean, yeah, and come on. Yeah, if we're going to do it, let's do it with a football game. I got to at least make one game. So, yeah, I'll be looking forward to doing that.
Well, and I know that you'll be looking at ways that you can help folks out again this year. Let us know, and we'll do everything we can to support that effort again as well.
I appreciate it. Yeah, we're going to try to get – I don't know what we're going to do because I know we're not going to do another Pro-Am because – we said it was going to be a one-shot deal, and a lot of people that supported us, you know, they went over the top to help us. And I think, and one of the reasons is because we said, look, we're not going to come back to you every year and ask you for more, but we want to try to put something in here. And I think we're going to try to get together and do something. I don't know what yet. I'm going to talk to Courtney Streelman and see. You know, I'm not sure what all we're going to do, but we're considering and trying to figure it out.
Fantastic. Dickie, I appreciate it.
John, anytime. Thank you for letting me ramble. It beats hiring someone for therapy.
You are welcome anytime. Hey, play great this week.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Golf course is good, so we'll see. It looks like it's going to be windy tomorrow, too, so hopefully I'll get the advantage of
playing early.
Early tee time. Oh, and by the way, just on a complete side note, I'm a little upset because – last week, I was paired with Tim Heron and Colton Ost, and I was the skinny guy in the group, okay? And that was awesome. This doesn't happen very often. I was thrilled, right? The first two rounds, I was out there clucking, walking around. I got Malinger and Keith Clearwater this week. I'm like, are you kidding me? These two guys. I mean, Keith, like 53, makes me look like a, you know, just horrible, look like I'm about to a train wreck. He's in such good shape. And then Johnny Malinger's just, you know, in shape and skinny, and it's really depressing.
Well, you know, it's just the way that it is. You look better than you would if you did what I do for a living, I promise you.
Yeah, well, I guess. I hope.
keep up. Hey, there was
no offense there. Boom. Okay.
I appreciate that.
Guys are going, you see what I mean, McGinnis? He's a jerk.
See, I would have fit right in with that group last week.
Oh yeah, come on. Yeah, we could have had the big belly open. There you go. That's what we ought to do, Johnny. Let's have the big belly open. We'll get everyone with a beer gut, and we'll have it sponsored by McGinnis on tap. Are you kidding me?
I do that. It's in November. It's the first week in November. It's the second annual On Tap Invitational, but you don't have to be fat to play in it. You just have to have a chubby disposition.
A chubby disposition.
Yes.
I like the beer belly open. I think that's better. We'll have to work on that. That could be a little side project for me and you.
Absolutely.
Let's see. We can get Chris Blanks.
Oh,
we
yeah.
We can get Stadler.
Ooh.
Colt. Tim. Oh, yeah, this has got serious potential here, big man.
Guy Burroughs.
Oh, he's in. I don't know. He's lost so much weight. Guy has lost a bunch of weight. He's doing really good. His knees are doing a lot better because of that. So I'm looking forward to him playing some good golf here coming up.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Well, I'm sure that what you did last week inspired him a bit.
I don't know about inspired him. He did send me a text and gave me a call. Dick! Dick! Nice playing, Dick! Way to go, man!
Yeah, oh, that's beautiful.
And we usually at second stage of Q School, we usually stay at the same place and eat dinner every night. Because, you know, Q School is so stressful. The perfect mix for Q School is to stay with the Burroughs. because they're just hilarious. And you can't, like, be uptight around them. Because if you're uptight around them, one, you're not listening to what they're saying, and two, they'll start wearing you out until you're not uptight. So, yeah, I'm going to miss that. I'm not going back to Omri at second stage for the final finale, which is a little depressing. I might actually have to just drive up there to see everyone.
You can caddy for somebody.
I could caddy for someone. Don't do that. Nick Rousey's going to call me and ask me to caddy for him. Rousey's playing great.
Good.
And now Rousey went to Alabama. He's behind me. He's played the Hooters too. He's lost in playoffs the last 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he's playing. I think he has a third loss in two playoffs. I'm like, Nick, go. Yeah, that's
absolutely
pretty awesome. Yeah, so hopefully he'll get some opportunities on the nationwide. He usually comes out and he's like Monday qualified and finished top, 10 a couple of times on the nationwide. It's top 25 to get another spot, but then you go out and do that. So hopefully he'll get some opportunities.
Well, sure. You know what? Is the nationwide tour playing this week? I didn't even look.
No. They're off this week. They're in Raleigh next week.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's the last tournament I ever won.
The last tournament you ever won. Really? Yeah. You didn't even win your own tournament last year?
No, I did not win my own tournament last year. As a matter of fact, I got beat by my old caddy. How about that? Barry Williams, who's caddying for Blake Adams these days.
Well, I can see that beat up's better than you.
He's certainly a better putter.
Now, wait a minute. Are you still with the 88-13?
I should probably bring that back out, though, shouldn't I?
Yes, you should. Have you told the story on air about what my what Kim was giving you a hard time about last week?
No.
About the 88-13?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, John McGinnis, when he was playing.
Do you know how late we are for the breaks that we're supposed to be taking this hour?
That is not my problem.
Okay.
I'll make it quick. No, I won't. Anyway, when Johnny was playing, he putted with an 88-13, an old 88-13, and I had putted with an old 88-02. They're the same years and similar putters. And when Johnny would putt poorly, he would leave his putter in the trunk of the car to punish it.
It deserved to be punished.
I know, and the problem was it worked. How do you get something that's metal to listen?
When she texted me that last Saturday, I texted her back. You had just finished. I texted her back that you should be sleeping with your putter on Saturday night last week.
She's a vengeful woman, too. I wouldn't go that far, big man. No. I can have a pillow. That's all. I tried to bring a stuffed animal. She got mad at that.
All right, brother. Take care of yourself. Hey, play great this week.
All right. I appreciate it, John. You take care.